Hey, what's up, everybody? We're back. It's the Rich Eisen Show Basketball Podcast, and we are in the thick of NBA playoffs round one, and we're going to break it all down. Quick episode here, hitting on all the games, all the matchups tonight. Thursday, where you're listening to this, the weekend matchups. My guys are here, Adam, TJ. I guess Kawhi's here. What's going on? Look at this guy.
What it do, baby? What it do? Oh, it's just me.
Yo,
it's
Kawhi's been great. You want to start there, TJ? Should we just start right in with Clippers Suns, or do you want to talk Draymond first?
I tried to explain this to you months ago, and you know, Rich has been on this thing for years about load management with these NBA players. And the one thing I wanted to say to Rich, but I can't say it to him because it's the Rich Eisen Show. It's not the TJ Jefferson Show. But the thing when he's constantly complaining about Kawhi sitting out, is I want to say, Rich, you know who is not complaining about Kawhi taking games off? That's a Clipper fan. How many Clipper fans do you see going losing their mind because Kawhi's taking time off? We don't, because we understand the history of the Clippers. We understand the history of the injuries that our players have suffered, not only in the playoffs, but just getting to the playoffs. So I was perfectly okay with Kawhi taking all the time he needed to make sure that that body was right. Pause. That sounded weird. But, you know, and now that he is healthy and now he's in the playoffs, Kawhi might be the best player in the NBA right now over the last 4 weeks. And it's not a surprise to me. He's in his bag. So I'm very happy right now. We're in the Phoenix. We stole a game.
Yeah, we did what you're supposed
to
do.
And I'll stand by this. If Paul George is healthy, I think the Clippers win this series in six.
I think you might win the series anyway in six. I kind of expect you to win tonight, Thursday. Adam, I wrote down some stats of Kawhi.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, I saw you working
on it. His first two playoff games, 31-8-7 with three steals and three threes in game one. That was game two. They lost, but still, awesome game.
Awesome game.
38-5-5 with three threes in game one. Kawhi has been the best player in the playoffs, right, for the first two games?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And you can't discount the fact that he's doing this without his second superstar, Paul George.
The reason why he came in the first place.
Anyway.
Exactly, yeah. So he's carrying this team on his back in the first two games. The Clippers definitely have the advantage in terms of depth. Their bench is way better than the Suns. And the great matchup head-to-head, obviously, is the matchup between Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's played pretty well in the first two games. I think he had, 27 and 25?
Yep.
Yeah. But it's clear that Kawhi is the MVP of the playoffs right now, at least in terms of that series. And to me right now, the Clippers look like the better team. They lose game two, but they still played pretty well. They stole game one. And I'm expecting right now, and this is me disagreeing with my original pick, I like the Clippers in this series right now. I think that they're going to win the series.
I'm pretty shocked that Phoenix is favored tonight by 4 points when it feels like, yes, they did win game two, but it wasn't easy. Mm-hmm. Clippers were out to a 10-point lead, you know, late second quarter. They were up 10, and then Phoenix kind of turned around the second half. Devin Booker was out of his mind.
Yeah, he was on fire.
Last game, Kevin Durant didn't do too much, had a super quiet 25. Chris Paul kind of did his thing after a slow start as well, overcame the Scott Foster curse.
But yeah, come on.
Coming back to L.A., I kind of expected this to be maybe a pick'em or maybe kind of a one-point game on either side. Phoenix by four, kind of surprising. I'm kind of with you, Adam. I'm kind of leaning Clippers now in this series. The depth, the length on the bench. Russell Westbrook, I know he shot 3 of 19 in game one, but had the great hustle plays at the end of the game. He had like 27 points in game two. He was being very aggressive, getting to the rim, and finishing, which we, you know, didn't see a lot out of him throughout the entire season. Played better when he got to the Clippers, but man, if he can give them 20 a night off the bench, look out.
Yeah, you know, Russ, I think he had a quote after last game. He said, you know how mentally things work with these athletes. He says when he was with the Lakers, he missed a few shots. He knew he was coming out the game.
Right.
He said now that he's been with the Clippers, he understands he can miss some shots. And as long as he's making contributions everywhere else on the court, which he is definitely doing, he's not worried about that quick hood. He's not worrying about getting snatched out of the game. And I think like that has to just mentally keep you more involved. And one thing about Russ, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, doesn't matter if he's shooting 3 for 19. It doesn't matter what's going on. His effort is going to be 100% each and every time that man finishes lacing up his sneakers. So You know, I'm loving. I know a lot of people were a little iffy about the Russ pickup. I'm loving the pickup. I love the fact that he found his way. I love that he found his spot on his team, and he is doing his thing, man. Big ups to Brody for, you know, overcoming, you know, all the noise. Because, you know, there's a lot of static and there's a lot of noise. He's not worrying about that. He's just doing his thing, and he's a very vital part of this team right now, especially with Paul out.
And his stop on Devin Booker in game one was one of the best defensive plays I've ever seen.
It was
considering the moment, considering it was in the playoffs, he had the wherewithal not only to block Devin Booker, but to also throw the ball off of Booker as he went out of bounds. So that was just an incredible play. I love watching Russ play. The passion's always there. He's one of those guys that now, especially, he's not really in his prime anymore, but he's one of those guys who are just like, no, and then yes. He's one of those type of players. But overall, he's definitely a net positive.
Good one.
And you just have to accept, if you're a Clipper fan, that he will make some bad decisions. He will make, you know, questionable shots. But overall, he's definitely a valuable member of this team.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's been playing well. I was going to do it a quick look at the old plus minus. I mean, he was minus 13.
Minus 13. You know, those are some analytics, though, that I just, you know, I get why we have those. And he lost. He was minus 13.
But there's no analytics on passion and grit.
Yeah,
no,
you can't measure that stuff,
heart,
man.
Hustle. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, let's talk about the other big game. It's kind of a shame that these two games are on at the exact same time tonight.
Yeah.
Kings Warriors at 7:00 Eastern on TNT. Probably by the time you listen to this, the game will be going on. Suns Clippers 7:30 on NBA TV. Nets Sixers. I assume that's going to be a sweep, TJ. We don't even have to talk much about that, but. Let's get into the...
I wouldn't necessarily say a sweep. I mean, the Sixers...
I'd say gentleman's sweep, maybe.
Maybe. You know, the Sixers did not play well in the first half of that game. Embiid, I believe, Harden combined for 9, I want to say, in the first half.
You were down 10 early.
Yeah, and then it was almost like you're playing to the level of your comp, right?
Yeah, sure.
So second half, I'm sure whatever Doc said, it definitely motivated them because they came out in the second half and then they put the game away.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they stay on that second half level and intensity, sure, it could be a sweep. But if... Yeah. They have another, you know, couple halves like they did in the first half. The Nets could definitely take a game.
I expect another hard-fought game. You probably win tonight, maybe lose game four, and then go home and wrap it up. But the other big game, kind of the best series right now in terms of gameplay, is Kings-Warriors. I know the Kings are up 2-0. We know what happened with Draymond Green and Devonta Sabonis. We were very heatedly talking about that yesterday morning pre-big show, and then Draymond gets suspended. Mike Brown said yesterday while accepting NBA Coach of the Year that Sabonis is going to play, did have kind of a chest contusion, but he's good to go. How big of a factor is not having Draymond Green out there? Ultimately, will it matter? I kind of think it doesn't matter much. The Kings are playing better. They're just a better team than the Warriors. And I kind of expect the Kings to win tonight, even though they're 6.5-point underdogs. Golden State, different team at home, of course. One of the best home teams, one of the worst road teams in the NBA this year. What do you guys think about this series? What do you think happens tonight, Adam?
Well, I have been underestimating the Kings. I didn't think that they really had a chance in the series before the series started. And they've been a revelation in the first two games. Malik Monk has been playing out of his mind. This is a guy who I thought coming out of college was going to become the next Ray Allen. I really believe that with him. And he struggled with his first few years in the Hornets, then he was on the Lakers. And I think he's really found his groove now with his former Kentucky teammate, De'Aaron Fox. And he's a great instant offense for that team. So he's been outstanding. De'Aaron Fox, obviously, he's, besides Kawhi, he might be the second star of the playoffs. They just cannot stop this guy from getting into the lane. He does that pull-up jumper. He does the floater. He's so fast to me. He's the fastest player in the league.
Seems like it. Yeah.
So they're
well,
just.
Well, Ja might raise his hand and go.
That's true. I think they're 1-2 right now. Any order you'd like.
Yeah. So this Kings team, I think we've all underestimated. At the same time, though, tonight, I believe the Warriors are going to come out with all the passion, with all the fire. I believe that the Warriors will win tonight. The Kings. They don't have any experience really in the playoffs, especially on the road. That's a different animal when you're on the road. The only guy that really has experience right now is Harrison Barnes.
Warriors, coincidentally.
Guy's got a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, he does, yeah. So,
I mean, he got sent out of town. Like, oh, Kevin Durant, bye, Harrison.
Yep. Yeah, so
Which, you know, by the way, 10 out of 10 would have made that deal. So,
Of course. Keep going.
Oh, no, for sure. Yeah. So I'm just saying, no, I think that not having Draymond does matter. But at the same time, I still think that the Warriors will win tonight.
I mean, is it an easy game? Is it a close game? What do you see happening tonight? I mean, look, yes, all those things you said are true, but you also don't know what you don't know. And these Kings don't know any better. They don't know they're not supposed to be nervous. They don't know that they're not supposed to go on the road to Golden State and win one of these next two games.
Well, I think the fact that this Draymond suspension happened is going to fire up the Warriors. I think it gets them something to rally behind in a weird way, where they're upset the fact that he was suspended and Sabonis was not. And Jordan Poole is the key to this game. Jordan Poole has been terrible the first two games. He needs to step it up. He needs to have a 25-point, you know, 5 or 6 3-point
shooting
game.
He's looked bad so far.
Yeah, he's been terrible. If he plays well, they win. If he's continuing to shoot these terrible numbers and not playing any defense, then it's going to be very difficult for them to win.
Saw some numbers, TJ. Draymond Green missed 9 games this year. Golden State 3-6 in those games, with wins over Cleveland, Houston, and Minnesota. So not exactly blowing your socks off.
Yeah, you know, look, Draymond, it's kind of like the metronome, really, of the Warriors. He kind of makes that team go, right? He keeps the beat, kind of keeps them on track.
He gives them an edge.
Yeah, we can't undersell or understate his value to this team.
Sure.
But that being said, him being out, that is a great loss. But I do think Golden State does take this game tonight for all the reasons you guys stated earlier. The fact that, like, now the Kings have to go into this arena, which is used to winning big games, which is used to winning championships. These fans are going to be rowdy.
Mm-hmm.
And back to a guy you mentioned, I think Jordan Poole may be key, because you know what you're going to get it from Steph. I'm going to call it now. Steph's probably going to put 40 up tonight. Klay will probably put up 30. So you... Now the Jordan Poole factor. He hasn't played well. We've noticed that he's been benched because of his lack of defense. But I do agree with you, Adam. For some reason, I feel Jordan Poole, I think maybe they feed him early tonight. I don't know if he's going to get the start. I don't know how their rotation's going to work with Draymond out. I don't know who the starter is. But I feel like Jordan Poole might get into the starting lineup, maybe. But even if he doesn't, the second he hits the court, I feel like they're going to go to him, maybe try to get him going. And he hits a 3 or 2, gets that crowd behind him, gets that momentum going. It's going to be loud. You know, obviously Sacramento's loud, but it's a different kind of loud when they're cheering for you as opposed to cheering against you. Now we also know that E40, E. Fonzarelli, E40 Water is going to be in the building. He's going to be sitting courtside, so there's going to be some juju coming at the Kings that way. I'm looking for Golden State to win this game, but I'm telling you, man, would it surprise me if I wake up in the morning? Well, I'll be watching the game, so it's not like I'm going to miss it. But would it surprise me tomorrow if the headlines read Kings go up 3-0? I think I might be slightly surprised, but not really, like, not like it's something that's unbelievable.
I think we're going to find out.
It's going to be a good game.
I think we're going to find out early. Golden State needs to come out hard. They need to come out strong. They need to make shots. Steph Curry, 3 of 13 from 3 in game 2. Only 9 of 27. You know, he's a lifetime 40% shooter from three.
I think we
only 9 of 27 from three in the first two games. I mean, he scored 58 points, but he's doing it the hard way. 41 shots. He's getting to the line, but, man, he's not doing it from outside. And, you know, obviously that's really a key for him and Klay.
A lot of people, we haven't really mentioned the fact that Mike Brown, the head coach of the Sacramento Kings, was an assistant with the Warriors for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so this guy has a detailed knowledge of all of their game plans. And I think that's definitely helped the Kings in terms of their defensive plans. And the Kings were locking down the Warriors in game 2, making every single shot difficult. Mitchell on the Kings is a really, really good defender. And some of the shots Golden State were taking, they would make, but they'd be very difficult shots to even, like, you know, get up. So yeah, we've been underestimating the Kings' defense, I believe, also.
Yeah, and coming into the playoff, that was the knock, that the Kings don't play defense.
Right, they want to outscore you.
All of a sudden, they are, which, getting back to Adam's point, Mike Brown was really responsible for the defensive game plan for those Warriors when he was on that staff. So, you know, I don't know how they went from a regular season where it's seemingly, you know, the analytics, I don't know what all those mean. I could just go by what my eye sees. I don't know what happened in the regular season that they didn't play defense that well, but man, they're really locked in now. And Mike Brown, like, he really deserving of that Coach of the Year award, and congratulations to him for winning that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Leading
so you guys both think Golden State wins tonight?
Yeah.
What do you guys put the chances that they win both games? Is it 2-2 going back to Sacramento?
Look, man, they're the defending champions, mm-hmm. right? And Dre will be back for game three, so that'll be another
game four, another
level of, you know, just getting that crowd involved and boosting the players up. So, look, if it's 2-2, it's not going to be a surprise.
When we do our pod next, what is this series at?
So we'll have how many games played?
We'll have – actually, game five, if necessary, is next Wednesday. So if we do a show next Thursday, what's this series at? Is it over? Or is it 3-2 somebody?
Well, okay, a sweep's probably not going to happen, so –
but is it over? Does Sacramento wins in five?
I don't think so.
I'll go
well, we have game six. I guess that's my question.
Yeah. I'll go 3-2 Sacramento.
Better
going
question.
Into game six.
Well, we have game six. You both say yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
I'm going to say no just because, but.
Well, why not? We have to have that balance.
Yeah, I want to see what happens tonight. All right, let's talk Grizzlies-Lakers. Man, oh, man.
Grizzlies-Lakers.
We've talked about this the last 2 years, TJ, on the big show.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason or another, we can't quite figure it out. We agree that Ja's a superstar, yes? Superstar?
John Morant?
John Morant, top 20 player in the league?
Yeah.
Why then, when he is out of the lineup, Memphis doesn't miss a beat? Because they did not miss a beat last night against the Lakers.
It is so strange,
John
right?
Morant is out. This superstar player takes a horrendous fall in game one. The hand that he had banged up seemingly looked like he snapped his wrist in half when it happened. Can't really do anything. Can't dribble, can't shoot. He's out game two. Bam, they're up 20 points.
I think that this Grizz team, they really must subscribe to this next man up philosophy, right? Because you're right. Jaws missed games. They were like 23-5 last year when he missed a game. They continue to thrive even if he's not in there. And when I speak of next man up, you got to give a shout out to Xavier Tillman mm-hmm. Sr. Like, I got to be honest with you.
Tyus Jones.
Tyus Jones, you know, I get it. He's been starting. He's played a more prominent role.
He played a lot this year.
But Xavier Tillman, like, nobody could have foreseen that coming. He was averaging 7 points a game, and then he just balled out. He did all the little things to help win that game, and I got to say I was very impressed with him as someone who, you know, Xavier didn't really have that spotlight. You didn't know how he would react under those bright lights, but, man, he came through last night in a big way for this Memphis.
You shocked that happened, Adam? You thought the Lakers were going up 2-0, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I thought it was over. But, yeah, it's interesting. So Jaren Jackson Jr. and Xavier Tillman, they've known each other since they were in high school. They were AAU teammates in high school. They played together at Michigan State. And last night they balled out for the Memphis Grizzlies. Those two guys were the best players on the Grizzlies. Jaren Jackson's had a great series so far. He's blocking shots, getting rebounds. He made it tough for AD last night. Anthony Davis was bad last night. He had a bad game.
Yeah.
I was surprised at the Grizzlies win. It shows that they're a tough, good team, and they have some good role players. Hopefully they get Ja Morant back for games 3 and 4, at least game four, so this could become a real series. And if he does come back, obviously, like we've said, the Grizzlies, it's a real series already. Yeah, Grizzlies play good without him, but to me, they need him to actually have a chance to win this series.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
I don't think Memphis is winning this series without Ja.
No.
They need him out there, whether he's 75% or whatever. They need his playmaking ability, even if he just – gets in the lane and dishes or just creates shots for other guys. They're going to need him to win this series. L.A. did their job. They won a game on the road. Now it goes back to L.A. They have the home court advantage for the rest of the playoffs. Does that mean anything? I have no idea. The Lakers have been such an interesting team this season. Obviously played really well since the trade deadline and the latter half of the year when LeBron came back healthy. LeBron has two double-doubles in this series. He's doing his thing. Austin Reeves is suddenly now Did you see that some GM said that he's a $100 million player?
I did see
that. Did you see that?
I was.
Okay, I wasn't.
And I quickly just skimmed by
but
it.
But I wasn't pretending, right? That was
no,
a real.
No, I definitely
that
saw
quote.
That scrolling through something. I went, oh, okay, and then kept going.
Anyway, he's playing great. Yeah. Like, suddenly, this is a guy who can make shots and create and defend. I just don't know why. It just feels like it's going to be Lakers-Celtics, like a throwback 80s NBA Finals this year. But
well, I'm looking at the stats last night. AD went 4 for 14 from the field, and D'Angelo Russell went 2 for 11. So they were 6 for 25. You can't have that as the Lakers if you have any chance to advance in this round. D'Angelo Russell, this guy can get hot quick. He's a guy who could score 25 or 30 points a game. But when you're going 2 for 11, that's you just can't have
that happening. Well, one of the big surprises for the Lakers has also been Rui Hachimura. He's been incredible. He was in their game one win. What do you have, like 28 or whatever it was? So if they can get that type of production from him off the bench, they're going to be tough to beat. But
and, you know, just real quick, going back to Tillman, right? 22 and 13.
Amazing.
The previous 5 games.
He probably combined for
he
that.
He had 30 total points.
Yeah, exactly.
And 10-14, he had like 30 rebounds. So what this guy did was amazing, considering he exceeded his totals over the last, you know, 5-6 games.
And great point. Same thing with Rui. Rui 29 in game one, 20 in game two. You're going to get that type of production. You're going to win games. What did you make of your boy Dylan Brooks, TJ?
Dylan Brooks, man.
This guy is unbelievable.
He's unbelievable.
If you haven't seen his whole look, it's tremendous. With the when he ended the regular season with like
he just he blew his hair out. He like looked
and
like
then now he's
fly.
Got the cool braids going and these outrageous white rimmed thick sunglasses that he was wearing.
Yeah, Mance doesn't
wear
his
shirt
with
the most gigantic DB chain that he had on. This guy is tremendous, but he's not a liar. LeBron is old. LeBron is old, and he hasn't scored 40 in the playoffs in 3 years. He says, don't talk to me until you put 40 on me. Do you think LeBron gets 40 in game three?
I mean, my initial reaction is to go, yeah, he will. But even, okay, say LeBron doesn't get 40. Say he puts up another 34 piece, you know? Then it's like,
right.
Okay, Dylan, what are you saying? I feel like, you know, Dylan Brooks is talking about he's old. Well, to me, saying a 38-year-old is old is one of the reasons why society has
basketball
such a
years.
Messed up view of age, right? Because 38 isn't old as a human being. But, okay, might be old to chase 22-year-olds around the basketball court. Yeah. But LeBron is not old compared to life. You know what I mean? But also Dylan Brooks talking about, you know, I poke bears. Well, you better hope that bear you poke didn't just like sniff some coke that fell out of a plane, buddy, because you're going to get mauled if you poke that bear named LeBron James. And I think you poked him. And all I would say is, Dylan Brooks, you found kind of your niche, right? You kind of want to be the villain.
Right,
you want to wear the black hat. Chris Brockman loves it because
love
he feels
it.
Like sports needs villains.
Yeah,
for
sure.
So you're stepping into that role and you're making that name known for yourself. But again, be careful what you wish for. Because I ain't poking LeBron, bro. I'm just saying. I'm going to let that man live.
Right. Adam, is Dylan Brooks crazy?
Yeah, why would you do that? What is there to gain? What is there to gain from him doing this? There's nothing he can gain. You think LeBron's going to get psyched out because Dylan Brooks called? Oh, my God. Dylan Brooks called me out. Oh,
is this like a new – is Dylan Brooks the new Lance Stevenson?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he
1,000%.
Exactly, yeah, because the difference between – those guys are like average to like whatever players. At least Draymond's like a future Hall of Famer. These guys are like 12-point – per game scores. It's like, what are you doing?
But also, you get props.
No, hold on. Breaking news.
Oh, what you got?
Oh,
what you
my
got?
God.
Holy crap.
No.
TJ, I'm
TJ,
sorry.
Oh, my God.
Kawhi Leonard is out tonight.
Why?
What?
Is out with a sprained knee. Windhorst. This is why we keep the TVs on when we record. It's 12:45 Pacific.
Wow.
Kawhi Leonard ruled out tonight. Oh,
all right, I'm going home.
Snap.
Dude,
thanks for watching the podcast.
Crap.
Did he even look injured in game two? I didn't notice
holy
anything.
Holy crap. What is happening? Oh, no.
Maybe that's why the insiders knew that the Suns were favored. They knew maybe this
was going
to happen.
That's why the Suns are favored. I guess Vegas always
I got
knows.
To be honest, though, thinking back, there was a play where he landed, and I thought I saw a little like hitch in his gait. I was
right.
Like, okay, no, it's fine.
Well, that might be it. That might be it. Right knee sprain, according to the source, according to ESPN.
Oh, man.
Wow.
This changes everything.
Okay.
Sometimes robots need maintenance. So I'm going to put a positive spin on this. The motherboard in his body was acting up. There was a part that had to be shipped from Japan that didn't get here in time. So, you know, we get
and
that.
Did we just go back and delete everything we just said about we thought the Clippers would move on in this series?
Well, this changes everything.
It just depends if he can come back for game four also. Because if he misses two games, then no, there's not a chance.
Right, but so if sitting him out means he'll be rested and ready for game four, then okay. And, you know, again, suck it up. The Grizzlies were out, Ja Morant. Somebody's got to step up. I don't know who that person is. I don't know where you get that after just saying how great this guy has been.
Wow, Woj is saying that he aggravated it in game one and played through it in game two.
Man, I'm telling you.
31-8-7 on an aggravated knee sprain.
I was watching that, and I thought that to myself. I'm like, something just seems a little off, but, you know, he, man.
Was that the same knee he had the issue, the ACL? I'm not sure.
The right knee, I believe.
Yeah, they're saying he sprained his right knee.
Not related to the surgery, but still a right knee sprain.
Okay, well then that's a positive.
All right, that's positive.
That's a positive.
If you're looking for any type of spin, the only thing that kind of goes against you here, TJ.
Well, there's a lot, Chris. I'm a Clipper fan.
Today's Thursday. Clippers back in action on Saturday. So not the 2 days of rest.
No, and that's the other crazy thing. The Clippers and the Suns are the only teams in this playoff that don't have at least 3 games off between games. Every game has been 2 games off. So, oh, man. But again, look me in my eyes, and I'm going to tell you, am I surprised? No, because I'm a Clippers fan. I've been a Clippers fan since 1999. I've seen this happen before. I've read this book. All right, it stinks, and I'm in shock. But I guess I'm not that much in shock because it's the most Clipper thing that could happen. So,
let's just hope he's back for game four, and then you guys could, you know, if you lose tonight, even it up, and then it's the best 2 out of 3. Anything else on any other series? I think we can all agree Celtics-Hawks is pretty much over.
Yeah, that's a wrap.
Nuggets-T-Wolves is probably pretty much over. That was probably the T-Wolves' best shot last night.
The T-Wolves played very well in the second half. Leads me to believe that maybe they could steal a game
Maybe
or
they got
two.
Something
yeah,
in you.
I think I could see the Nuggets winning in five, the Wolves getting one. Karl-Anthony Towns needs to play better. He was terrible first 2 games. So if he plays better at home, I could see them getting one.
Huge game tonight in the Garden. I mean, this is an interesting series, Cavs-Knicks. It's 1-1.
It's tomorrow.
Oh, sorry. It's tomorrow night. Yeah, it's tomorrow night, Friday night. Cavs looked horrendous in game one, and then the Knicks look horrendous in game two. It's kind of back and forth. They're just kind of trading duds here. Knicks 1-point favorites. But the Garden's going to be rocking. You know that. It kind of depends on the health of Julius Randle. And Jalen Brunson's got to stay on the court. So what do you see out of that series? Is it still going 7, or is that going to be, you know, winner game 3 kind of takes control?
I can still go seeing it going 7. I still like the Cavs overall, but I can't wait to watch the Knicks play at home. Knicks playoff games are my favorite to watch at home. That
wild
crowd
wild
is going
scene.
To be
it's a wild scene.
Crazy tomorrow. You're going to see the Pete Davidsons of the world sitting courtside, Spike Lee. So it's a scene there. So I can't wait to see that. But I still like
Ben
the Cavs.
Lyons. Yeah.
The fact that Pete Davidson was the first Knicks fan you mentioned.
I mean, Woody Allen, I guess Woody Allen's probably.
He can get bounced, too. But look, let's not overlook something just real quick on this Nuggets-T-Wolves. First of all, our boy Ant Edwards balled out last night, 41 points.
He really struggled in game one, too.
He struggled in game one, so that was a nice bounce back. And then Bubble Jamal Murray came back.
Dude,
let's
talk about Bubble Jamal Murray's back.
40 points. He looked like he did before he blew his knee out. And, you know, it's such a shame because who knows where Jamal Murray would be right now had he not blown out his knee. And also, would Joker have those MVPs if Murray had continued on that path that it looked like he was going to in the bubble before he got hurt? Because this guy was a walking bucket, man. So it was great. I don't really have a dog in that fight, but it was just great to see him come back and be like, oh, yeah, that guy, that's the guy that we thought we were going to get after the 2020 season. And, of course, like I said, Ant just – He put him on his back last night. He didn't get it done, but man, he balled.
I gotta say, watching them play last night, Denver. I think I might switch to Denver to come out of the West now. I was kind of low on them heading into the playoffs, but if Jamal Murray's gonna show up and play like that, if it's gonna be Bubble Murray, where he's hitting turnaround step backs, he's getting in the lane, he's really making things happen. Combined with what Joker can do, combined with Michael Porter Jr. hitting threes. combined with Aaron Gordon wreaking havoc around the rim, Denver looked really nice. And if Giannis still has his back issue, if Boston still has their turnover issues and, you know, kind of living and dying by the three if they have some off nights, this might be Denver's title to kind of take.
Yeah, they've been in contention the last 3 years.
Especially with Kawhi now banged up, Phoenix looking super inconsistent, and, you know, the Lakers only put up 93 last night. That's not going to be enough to stay with Denver. So,
yeah, Denver looks like the best team right now. I've never seen, by the way, this many injuries to star players in the first, like, two or three games of the first round ever.
Yeah.
Wild.
Even Miami losing Tyler Hero, that's a huge loss for them.
Huge loss.
But I also say this, you know, looking at the Sixers, Embiid is still doing Embiid type things.
That's true.
28, that's true. 19, he's still, to me, the most unstoppable force offensively. And then, you know, Maxey put up 33. He was just in his bag. So, you know, James Harden is doing his thing. He only had 8-7 assists that last game, but we still got the dub. We'll see. It's all going to come down on coaching. I think coaching is the thing that's going to win
adjustments, coaching
this championship for whatever team wins. I think you're going to have to look at the adjustments being made. Like Ty Lue is, you know, I thought he was going to have to make some adjustments with Zubats, maybe sitting him some more, playing Plumlee a little bit more because Zoo was just getting eaten up, you know, while through a pick and roll. But I don't know. I'm just flabbergasted now.
This Kawhi news is just the curse
of Donald Sterling continues. When will this end?
Yeah. I guess when I'm long gone, Adam, like Roman Reigns will be the WWE Universal Heavyweight Champion still in 20 years, and I'll be gone off this planet, and the Clipper curse will still happen, and it's just never going to end.
All right, everybody, we'll leave you on that. Thanks for watching. Enjoy the games tonight, Thursday. Enjoy the games Friday and all weekend. We'll see you next week. Everybody stay healthy out there. I mean, Jesus. Man. Watch yourself getting into the painted
area.
Protect
your mentals and your chickens and your ACLs, apparently.
All right, boys. Good stuff. TJ, Adam, LeBrock, out.